During yesterday morning's newspaper review, I went over the article by Carl O'Brien, the education editor with the Irish Times, and the headline was "State may part fund construction of student beds on university campuses." So it's planning permission for thousands of purpose-built student accommodation. It was shelved due to soaring cost of construction, and I went into some of the details, which I will go back into during my interview next with Patrick Curtin. He is the Students' Union President at the Waterford campus of South East Technological University. You're welcome to the show this morning, Patrick.
Hi, Ciara. Thanks very much for having me on this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining me. Listen, you have called this student accommodation crisis possibly worse than ever before. Why is this?
Yeah, so this, as you know, we just came out of COVID there about a year ago now. And as you know, college was all online. Everything was a mystery. No one knew what was going to happen over the pandemic. And then a lot of landlords, they would have went into the private sector for renting out the families. A lot of the digs that would have been used for students with the elderly, all of them came off the market due to COVID. They were afraid of having students in there and then catching the virus and so on. And then as soon as college came back, the markets became very scarce. So the rentals were not there, the digs weren't there. And then a lot of students then were competing for the
anything that was left.
Anything that was left. And there's just massive waiting lists on the college at the moment in Waterford.
Yeah, supposedly the on-campus beds, they're fully booked out.
Yeah, so basically we have just over 400 beds in the Waterford campus.
Now, give me a comparison to maybe another technological university within the country. What would they have on campus, numbers-wise?
Out of the only former IT colleges or technological campuses, whatever you'd like to call them, or the universities, we're the only one in the country at the moment that we actually own our on-campus accommodation. So there, as far as my knowledge goes, that there's actually no university or technological university that has their own on-campus accommodation, unless it's an old university, the likes of UCC or UL, that would have already had it.
Okay. Now, Patrick, you've actually had to begin talks with hotels, I'm sure local hotels, to the technological university, to see if they can do any deals come September. I'm sure that is with the view of short-term accommodation, as short as possible, you may say.
It's not an ideal situation.
Yeah, but Patrick, realistically, in terms of that short-term accommodation, will there really be, would say, come mid-September, early October, mid-October, enough accommodation then available within that month for these students who may take on this short-term hotel accommodation to find accommodation elsewhere within the area?
So normally in an ideal world, well, it's not ideal, but come around mid-October, coming into November, as a lot of students, they'd find out that college isn't for them, and they'd drop out of college, or other circumstances might come up, they might defer, and normally that frees up a lot of accommodation at the start of the year, and that's where we kind of get the people that would have been staying in the hotel for a couple of weeks, then they're sorted for the accommodation, then, or for the likes of students then that are, say, want to go to college, but they're living too far away. They're coming up and down and staying in the hotels one or two nights a week. Then that puts them off to deferring it for a year, or else they just don't take up the place at all. So it would free up some places do get freed up, but it doesn't house everyone.
And we know this year the Leaving Cert students and those who may have reapplied through the CAO format or online, whatever you may call it, or however you may word it, will be waiting a little longer to receive their results. So I'm sure that will add to the pressure of looking for accommodation.
Yeah, so the recommendation that we're seeing to the first years, even if they don't know they're going to college yet, is basically to book accommodation, what they can find straight away. And that goes for second, third and fourth years, is basically take the hands off of people, of the landlords or of the accommodation suppliers, just take the hands off them on what they can get once it's a livable standard and once they can afford it and so on, and once it's all above board. Because the first years are due to start within the Waterford campus on the 21st of September, and I think the second, third and fourth years are due to start about 2 weeks before then. So there's a very short time period for the first years to find accommodation for themselves down here. And I presume that it's going to be like that across the country in all different counties as well.
So you have noted the shortage was forcing some people last year to travel from as far away as Dublin, the Midlands. Here in this country, you know, people go to universities within Ireland in all the different areas. Oh, and I know you previously attended university in Waterford, and you're somebody who's coming from the Midlands, this area. Did you find it difficult to find accommodation at the time? And if you didn't have accommodation in that area or around that area, was it difficult to commute?
I had accommodation. Sorry, Patrick, just to jump in here. I had accommodation, but it was private accommodation. So I think obviously what Patrick is covering there is the on-campus accommodation, which is, you know, very, very difficult to get hold of. For me, though, no, very easy to get accommodation.
But in terms of commuting, is that a big stretch for people, would say, going around that area from this county or from, you know, elsewhere around us, you know, Leash, Meath, etc.?
It probably would. I mean, going down to Waterford, taking about an hour and a half. Obviously, I wasn't driving when I was in college, so it was on the bus. So I don't know if commuting would be a possibility. But as Patrick said, this is not only an issue in Waterford, in the South East Technological University. We're seeing this all around the country, Patrick, which I'm sure you've heard of also. You know, even here in Maynooth, we have issues in terms of accommodation.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Now, even the Dublin, Maynooth, even parts of the Midlands, the likes of Sligo, Athlone, they're having problems across the whole country. It's just not Waterford, it's spread across the whole country. As there's an uptake in, you know, with people going to college, colleges become more accessible as the years go by for students basically to get their places. And you have all these backdoor entries with PLC colleges, doing your apprenticeship for a couple of years, able to skip into second and third year, and more people in are, there's more mature students going to college. There's a bigger demand than what there was, say, going back 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. Things are changing, as we know. And Patrick, you are the Students' Union President at the Waterford campus of the South East Technological University. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And it just has to be noted... Thank you, Patrick. And it just has to be noted, a lot of people will commute, no matter where they're going to university or college or PLC, from where they live, would say, within this county, Leash, Meath, West Meath, wherever it may be. And the high cost of fuel, that is impacting a lot of people. And we look at the cost of public transport. It has decreased largely over the past, I think, about a month and a half now that's been in place. Transport for Ireland have decreased their cost. But as we speak about often on the show, the price of the train tickets. So that is something else to take into account if you are somebody who may consider, right, I'll leave the accommodation to one side, I'll try to commute. Another massive, massive issue that you may be worrying about this coming school season. Listen, thank you very much to Patrick for joining us.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, welcome back to the programme. Let's go to the north of the county once again and the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District meeting. Joining me on the line now is Fianna Fáil Councillor Bernard Caldwell. Good morning to you, Bernard.
Good morning, Owen.
Motions and issues that you raised at the meeting. First of all, you wanted the council to put a tabletop crossing at the entrance to the Castletown Estate and also the Oaklawn Estate on the Green Lane.
Yeah, look, it is in an area where there's a lot of issues over the last number of years, and Kildare County Council had to withdraw the school warden there for various reasons. One of them was, first of all, his or her life was in danger with people driving through and not paying any heed. So what I've asked the council is put a tabletop there at the particular junctions that would slow the traffic down and make it safe then for children and parents alike heading to the school, because up to 600-700 children a day cross this area. And while it's in the plan for a new cycle route, I think the council have taken on board and they're going to do this a little bit quicker if they can, and that'll be very much appreciated.
Okay, did the council provide an update on the upgrading of the street lighting on the main street in Leixlip?
They did, and it's currently out to tender, and they hope to have results. Well, they didn't say when, but at least the process is on the go, and hopefully it'll be done by the end of the year. But look, it's out of tender, and they did tell me that there's another group looking after it, but they will do it.
And what's the current situation with the street lighting on the main street? Is there a number of lights out?
No. We have street lighting, but it's the old orange lighting, and it's not very effective. And we want to go back to the brighter lighting, and they will do it. But no, you know yourself, they're eliminating all these lights around the country.
Okay.
And Leixlip Main Street is one of them. So look what they are going to do, which is great.
The old ESB site in Leixlip, then, you're also wanting an update on the proposed development there.
Yeah, the council have appointed a design team for this area. This is an area that they hope to build a number of houses for Clwyd. And it's with the department, and it's with all the various authorities. But there's one big hole up here, and there's a big TV mast on the side of the site. Now, the council have to get rid of that, but it's where they're going to put it is the problem. And we were told that they were looking at an area pretty close by, which we're totally objecting to. And, you know, they just need to find somewhere else. But the residents along the Middle Street, the Middle Lane area, are completely against it. And so am I. And I know we need TV and masks, but we'd have to find somewhere else to put it. But that's one of the major holdups. And hopefully we'll come to some positive conclusion and everybody is happy. And then that site is developed, which would be a huge benefit to Leixlip. It's lying idle there a number of years now. And that's all. No other news.
Right. The other thing is the Rye River then, which is, you know, something that we've covered regularly here on the programme. The recent pollution incident, which we understand is under investigation. We won't comment on that. But you did want the council to ask the relevant authorities about the restocking of the Rye River.
Yeah, as you know, we can't really speak about it because of there's an investigation going on there. But look, yeah, I did ask them to restock it as soon as possible because I'm sure whatever was in the river well passed through it, and there's no reason why now it can't be restocked. I do believe already there are signs of life back in it, which is a great sign. But look, we keep an eye on that one, and hopefully that we come to a positive conclusion.
Yeah, the Kildare County Council report saying it's a matter for the members to agree if they wish to write to the relevant authority regarding the restocking of the river. That is Fianna Fáil Councillor Bernard Caldwell on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. Thanks indeed, Bernard.
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
Well, did you know that Roisin Sweeney from Kildare, based in Naas, made history over the weekend, becoming the first female champion of the Motorsport Ireland Tillotson T4 Senior Karting Championship and the first female champion of the Tillotson T4 Series worldwide? An absolutely brilliant achievement from the Kildare woman. And she is on the line now. Roisin Sweeney, good morning to you and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, first of all, congratulations. A fantastic achievement, as I say. Before we talk about what happened over the weekend, tell us first of all a little bit about what karting is and how you got involved in it.
So basically, karting in Ireland, there's different categories of karting. I started off in junior Rotax, which is like a two-stroke engine category. I did that for around a year. Me and Dad, now, we came into the sport with absolutely no clue. I only gained interested in it when I saw an F1 race on TV, and I just knew it was something I'd like to do, get involved in motorsport. So we got the Rotax car off Dundee, and it was a tough first year. We weren't taking it completely seriously at the time, and we do like a couple of club races here and there, and it was just kind of starting to learn how to get into the sport, getting to know people.
What age were you at this stage? Because I know go-karting is something that maybe people might do as a leisurely activity, like for somebody's stag do or for somebody's birthday, you go go-karting and, you know, you have a bit of crack with it. But it can be taken seriously as well and compete in competitions.
Yeah, exactly. So the karting that we do, it's very different to the higher karts that you get at the track. Our karts are a lot lighter and a lot quicker, and we don't have, they're open wheel, we don't have any barriers around them, so we have to be, you know, keep it a non-contact sport because we don't want wheels getting caught in bumpers and stuff. It's taken a lot more seriously, there's a lot more money, there's so much money and time and effort put into it. I started with the Rotax when I was around 15, and then just as I was turning 16, the Tillotson T4 series was introduced into Ireland. It had been there for about a year, and it really, really started to take off. So me and Dad decided that would be a great opportunity to get started in that series and leave the Rotax behind. So I did my first race in Watergrass Hill, County Cork, which is the track that I got my first win in 2 years later. Around the age of 16, 17, that was when I really started to take the Tillotson T4 series seriously. Obviously, COVID had a big impact on my progress in 2020-2021, the championships, obviously nothing could go ahead as planned, so I wouldn't have got as much practice and as much track time that I would have needed. But now this year and the start of last year, we really, really started to, you know, get out on track, get racing and put in so much more effort and time.
Yeah, you mentioned the practice there. You're based in Naas. It's not something that you can just do in your back garden or go down to the local football field and practice. You have to, I'd imagine, go to a track, a proper track, and practice the karting. How often do you do that a week?
Generally, before each race, there'd be a test day on the Saturday. So any race, we definitely would do the test day the Saturday. And then any time, you know, Dad can get off work and I can get off work. Yeah, we try to get a practice in at least maybe every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. And it also depends on how much racing we have in the month. A month filled with racing, we generally wouldn't have to practice as much as we get it all done the day before. And then on off-season, like during winter, we definitely, you know, we do a couple of test days. My nearest tracks would be at Boy and Mead and White River in Louth. They're both about an hour, 10 minutes away.
So there's no tracks here in Kildare or even in Wicklow or Carlow, no?
No, so we can only use them on the outdoor tracks. So any of the indoor tracks we can't, you know, that's unfortunate. There's a few a bit closer, but, and then Mondello Park, there's no Mondello on the calendar this year or last year, so that would have been handy now to get down to, but not at the moment.
Just take me back to, so you're 18 now, take me back to when you were 15 again and you saw that Formula One race on the television and you said to your parents, I want to give that a go or something similar and get involved in karting. What was your parents' response? I know your dad has been very supportive to you, but it's quite an unusual one to want to take up, isn't it?
It is, and like obviously the money involved and just the time and effort that would have had to go on in it, it was very hard to convince them at first. But we got out for a test day just with one of the teams in, I think it was an IAMI X30, and you know, we were just hooked when I gave that a go, and that was what convinced Dad. And then yeah, we got on Dundee, got the car and started practicing, started racing.
And I'd say with what happened over the weekend then definitely made it worthwhile. You know, those last 3 years, you becoming the first female champion of the Motorsport Ireland Tillotson T4 Senior Karting Championship, the first female champion of the T4 series worldwide. Where did this take place, this race, and talk me through the day?
Yeah, so this was that last race. It was just, it was unbelievable. Like, all our hard work, it's all paid off. It was in Kiltorkin in County Kilkenny, an hour 20 minutes from us. It was actually a pretty tough weekend overall because it's a track that I struggled with over the past 2 years. So I had to really put in, you know, really put in the work and effort to keep my lead and finish the race well enough to keep my championship lead. There was a few incidents as well over the day, you know, a couple of crashes. And yeah, it was a very, very tough weekend. I had to really use my head during the race and think of the championship, not go for anything stupid, just, you know, finish the race.
And the race itself, how long is a karting race? And do you have any pit stops? Do you have any, I suppose, correspondence with people on the side of the track, or are you completely on your own?
Yeah, so a karting race, generally, our final in Kiltorkin would be 12 laps, and that's around a 51-second lap. So yeah, it's pretty much a sprint race, you know. 12 laps, you just have to absolutely focus and drive as hard as you can, manage your tyres, that kind of thing. We don't do pit stops. We have one set of tyres for the day, generally, and you have to be, you know, be careful with your pressures and stuff, just make them last the day, make sure they're good for the final. And no communication outside. It's just you and the car, just the helmet on, and yeah, you have to not, you know, obviously there'd be people from the sidewalls cheering you on and pointing and all this, but you have to keep your head, keep your eyes on the track, because it's very easy to get distracted out there.
Yeah, it's a brilliant achievement, I have to say. When I saw it online and I'd been following it over the weekend as well, I thought it was brilliant. But one thing that struck me as well, it is a very male dominated sport, and the fact that you're the first female champion says a lot, and you know, it kind of encourages younger girls to get involved if they want to. Were you the only girl in that race?
No, not this time, because Nikki Daly and the Skull Girls Initiative, run by Formula Female, had two girls down for the weekend in their first ever race, and they did absolutely brilliantly. They really held their own over the weekend, and they were just getting better and better. I think they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I think it is great, and well done to you, well done to everyone who's been helping you out over the last 3 years. As I say, it really has come to fruition now when you get those kind of results. And what's the plan now for the next couple of months? Is that the end of the season, the end of the championship, or have you still got more lined up for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so we've one more race in Ireland in 2 weeks' time in Watergrass Hill in Cork, probably my favourite track. So I'll be aiming to do well in that one. And now that I've won the Motorsport Ireland Championship, the prize is a free ticket to the T4 Nations Cup in Valencia. So that's in early October, and it's going to be an absolutely amazing event. Like, there'll be drivers from all over the world there competing. Yeah, I'll be really focused and set on that now. October.
Super stuff. Well, doing Kildare proud, Roisin Sweeney from Naas, the first female champion of the Motorsport Ireland Tillotson T4 Senior Karting Championship, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds as well. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again on the programme not too long from now. Roisin Sweeney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, catching up on some of the messages then. Of course, you can get in touch. 0833 97 97 97. Text and WhatsApp. Any requests or dedications that you might have, or you can email studio@kfmradio.com. Happy birthday to Jack Mahoney in Prosperous. Hope you have a great day. That comes in from Dad and Jen. So, Jack Mahoney, happy birthday to you. KFM, isn't the weather great? If you could give Lenny Kravitz 5 more days till summer a spin, please. It's my summer song. It would lift anyone's spirit, says Breda. Not sure if we'll get to it today, Breda, but I will leave a message for the rest of the guys here on the station and see if we can squeeze it in after the programme. But we do have another summer song lined up before we finish at 11, so stay tuned for that. Will Mack in Dunedee in touch, wondering what speed would Roisin Sweeney be doing. I'm not entirely sure. I think she said it was a 4-stroke engine on the carts, and I've seen some of the videos as well, and they're doing very, very quite good speeds, I must say, and the talent to get around those tracks in such small vehicles is incredible, and a great achievement from the Naas woman, making history over the weekend, becoming the first female champion of the Motorsport Ireland Tillotson T4 Senior Karting Championship. Roisin Sweeney, well done to her and all involved. Just before we move on, by the way, I want to let you know that I did get in touch with Kildare GAA yesterday after we got an email in regarding the lack of facility to purchase a club championship ticket on the gate using either cash or card, and those tickets had to be bought online. I got in touch to say that we got a number of messages from listeners yesterday morning asking whether or not it will be possible for the next round of the championship to reintroduce purchasing tickets on the gates of grounds, as some of them don't have access to the internet in order to buy tickets online. I asked if Kildare GAA would issue a statement on this issue or outline whether or not they'll be making the facility available going forward. We haven't received a statement from Kildare GAA as of yet, but the lines of communication remain open, and as soon as we hear from them, we will let you know. Let's go to the Athy Municipal District then, and on the line is Fianna Fáil Councillor Brian Dooley and the newly elected Cathaoirleach of the Athy MD. Good morning to you, Brian, and congratulations on your appointment.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to all your listeners. And I'm down in Cork this morning, Owen, and it's raining. So
right.
I'm very lucky. You're obviously very lucky to up in Kildare with the sun shining. So yeah, no, delighted, Owen. Delighted to be appointed as the new Cathaoirleach of the Athy MD. Really honoured.
The sun's still shining here for the moment, but I think the rain might be coming up to us here from Cork in the afternoon. So not looking forward to that. But let's get to issues that you brought forward to the recent meeting. And first of all, you wanted the council to get in touch with the National Transport Authority regarding their signage for the directional turn-off for Athy on both the M9 and the M7. Is there an issue with the signage there, Brian?
Yeah, there's not enough of it. To clarify, the apply turn-off one, quite simply, I've had a number of representations for people who were maybe coming back, or relations of theirs were coming back from the UK and driving over to Ireland, and they missed turn-offs completely. So it's something that's been ongoing. We've spoken about this, and I know of all the other councillors have as well, in regards to the brown signage for the South Kildare tourism areas, but in particular as well the blue signage that references the towns or villages or whatever it may be that you need to go on the motorway. It's not referenced enough, so it's something that the members agreed we'll write to TII and see if we can raise it with them and have it dealt with.
Okay, you also wanted the council to start a process to put in place actions and funding that will lead to a design and the procurement of necessary lands to develop a footpath from Castledermot to Colestown Cemetery.
Yeah, and basically got an answer back saying a design will need to be carried out to ascertain land takes, so that's obviously the byland, and then when a design is completed, they'll also have to include public lighting and drainage and so forth. It is an issue one that's come up again on your own radio station with people in Castledermot, residents in Castledermot, who may not have a transport who walk out to the graveyard, which is it's a bit outside the town. This is going to become, until the end of this council's term, our number one priority in Castledermot. We're actually going to go back to our director in Rhodes and see if we can forward this on, because the main issue from the council is getting a design team in place to put the design in and then see the other ground. Once we have a design team in place and we don't have the resources for that at the moment, this is what's come to light, we should be able to progress this. But this is going to be a number one priority for the councillors in the IMD till the conclusion of their term.
Okay, some good news there for Castledermot, because it is something that we have highlighted on the programme with residents in the area there. If we stay with road safety, a pedestrian crossing from the council car park to the train station entrance in Athy, you're looking for an update on that. Is there any plans for the council to do that?
There is. We got a report yesterday on and some good news. There is plans afoot. What will happen is once the SDR Southern Distributor Road is finished and there's going to be linkage from that up to the railway station, we'll also be able to conclude with a pedestrian crossing from the park and the car park area, the council car park area, over to the Irish Rail station. There's a little small issue there about land on the Irish Rail side that the council will have to negotiate with them or talk to them about utilising that space that they have for a pedestrian crossing as well. So again, our plans are afoot on that.
All right, and finally then the last question that you brought forward, looking to see if you could get confirmation when works in the old part of St Michael's Cemetery in Athy will finish.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the actual answer I got on that own was nothing got to do with the question. There was a breakdown, I think, in communication that when you say Old St. Michael Cemetery, they referred to the old one, as I would say, where the old church is.
Right, but you wanted an update on the old part of the new cemetery.
On the old part of the new cemetery, right. Exactly. So works were carried out there several months ago, but there's still some works to be finished. So what I was looking for was an update on when they'll be finished. But I put the question to the officer that was there yesterday, and they'll come back to me. And once I get an update on that, I'll tell you.
All right, good stuff. We're just told as well from Ger O'Neill in Athy that it started to rain in Athy. So I think wherever Brian Dooley goes or wherever he has connections to, it's starting to rain, be it down in Cork or in Athy.
Keeping the dust down. That's
exactly.
All I'm doing on, keeping the dust down.
Good stuff. Listen, congratulations again on your appointment as Cathaoirleach of the Athy Municipal District. That is Fianna Fáil Councillor Brian Dooley joining us on the programme this morning. We'll be going to the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District in a moment, but Ciara, first of all, Kildare focus between 2 and 3 this afternoon. What's coming up?
So this week is Fertility Awareness Week. There's a new survey out. 95% of people, they say they didn't receive proper education in school. This is regarding their menstrual cycle. So we'll speak all about the week with nurse manager at Sims IVF Clinic in Swords, Amy Murphy, just after 2. Then we'll be speaking, hopefully, to Irish Water. Haven't got confirmation there, but as I noted in the 10 a.m. headlines, there's a risk of drought now after the recent hot weather in 12 areas of the country. Some people a lot of people may be very confused by this. You're mentioning it's raining now in Athy, it's raining in Cork. Why would this news be put out by Irish Water? And others will hear about it, hopefully, at about 2:20. We'll speak with one obesity professor on weight loss during cancer treatment, how it's very important to be aware of this, even if one is overweight or obese. And we'll speak about the Free Now increases. They're being accused of price gouging. Free Now is a type of taxi service there that is available in this county and obviously in the cities in the country. So do join me between 2 and 3 this afternoon for Kildare Focus. But before we get to that, we have one more guest here on Kildare Today this morning. That is Social Democrat Councillor Nuala Killeen for Selbridge Leixlip MD. Hello, Nuala.
Good morning, Ciara. How are you today?
I am grand. Thank you very much. We're going to begin with you asking, following the contracted roadworks in the Selbridge Leixlip MD, a qualitative assessment you've asked to be undertaken in respect of works, or it was carried out, I should say, by contractors, and where there might be gaps in provision or any deficiencies, set timelines for remediation works to be completed that will improve safety and ensure clear road markings and even surfaces. What was the response to that one, Nuala?
Yes, so basically the council have stated they have a dedicated person to inspect the works and to put the remedial action into place and obviously the set standards. But to kind of make the motion make sense for people, it's if you ever notice roadworks in your town or village and there might be a part of the pavement or the cycle lane or the road that has been dug up, so there might be an interim repair or like a patchwork line. So you might have, you know, the lovely footpath, the cycle lane, and you might have some tarmac, you know, covering up utility works or works that have been done. So basically that work is phased. So at the end of a complete job, the contractor will go back and make the pathway, the cycle lane and the road good. So look like how it was before those works were done. So we would have a huge volume of comments and queries in respect of, you know, the summer works programme or different, you know, there's even the footpaths programme at the moment. But it was just to get general clarification of, yes, there is an inspector that goes around looking at all these things, and then when the works are finished and they're made good, and you know, there is the Department of Transport have a document called the guidelines for the opening backfilling and a reinstatement of openings. So I just wanted to clarify the process in that regard and hopefully resolve some of the queries and comments that we receive from members of the public.
Okay, then moving again, you know, to the MD in general, you've called on the executive to liaise with the National Transport Authority with a view to setting up a joint working group. This involves the elected members and officials from the adjoining MDs, and an initial meeting of all stakeholders be convened to discuss matters in respect of the Greater Dublin Airport transport strategy, including aspects of transport infrastructure that will impact the MD. Public transport, something that obviously is very high on majority of Kildare residents' list in terms of priority.
And indeed, exactly. And in Kildare, we're particularly impacted by transport decisions, you know, from a national basis. And like particularly in Selbridge and Leixlip and other municipal districts across Kildare, we do have very close boundaries with other counties like Meath, South Dublin County Council, Fingal, in our district anyway. And there are some kind of major transport projects coming down the line, like the Dart Plus. There's some M50 resilience options. There's the Greater Dublin Transport Strategy. There's a lot of activity ongoing, and obviously Kildare is kind of in some parts of the geography of Kildare a commuter county, so we use the national networks in public transport and roads and buses to get to work and school and to enjoy ourselves. And I felt that this was a sensible and strategic option for the different municipal districts to sit down and the different councils and talk to each other about the challenges and the opportunities. Now the executive had come back and said that they felt the senior engineer was the appropriate link to the NTA, and that the practicalities of getting a working group together would be too complicated.
What do you think about that?
I was a bit disappointed. I did have a conversation with the team at the time. Now, we are well represented in our municipal district.
Because just, you know, factually, every single month, every MD meets the full council meeting. So I'm sure, yeah, in terms of practicality, something like that could be put in place if there was discussions needed to be had about, you know,
you
NTA issues.
Quarterly, you could have it online, you could have a symposium about transport.
So was there any pushback from anybody else? I know that's your motion, but on that.
I was probably concentrating on my own, what I had to say, but I do believe it's not something that will go away. I think the pressure to come together with other councils on the borders will, maybe you see, sometimes when I think strategically and I bring it to the executives, they say, like, you're talking about these things too soon. And I'm like, well, I am a lateral thinker. I do think, well, in 3 years or 5 years, when we have...
What does that mean, too soon?
That was just an answer that was given to me previously about something else, because it's not in front of them right now, and that it's not for consideration, because the work programs are so huge. There's so much going on all the time, and the resources they have are low. But I think from a, if you zoom out of a problem and look at it, and I'm a visual person, I like to look at maps, and I like to look at how things map together, and I like to look at systems and processes. And for me, the most sensible and strategic thing to do is to talk to other people, talk to our counterparts. We're part of a wider national network of transport that goes, you know, into Dublin, down the country, into other counties, and there's huge populations in the north of the county, and I just think at some stage it will be needed, and it is something I will bring up again, but maybe this isn't the right vehicle, not to use a bad pun, but to deliver that, maybe there's another way I can work with my colleagues and counterparts in other local authorities to do something else that's not dependent on the executive, because I do believe a stakeholders group, I think it's an important thing for us to do, is to have a conversation about transport and the burden. And obviously Kildare provides a huge number of the workforce for the greater Dublin area, and we can't lose sight of that either.
Absolutely. You've asked the council to provide a progress report. This is on the implementation of safe school routes in Selbridge Leixlip MD. You said specifically in Leixlip at the Castletown site.
Yes, and you will have heard that this is an issue that has presented again and again and again, because it is a dangerous corner and a dangerous crossing. Now, we have had intervention and inspections from both the sustainable transport team, from the road safety officer, from the local area engineer. They've equally, in a group and individually, met with councillors on site. They fielded a large number of reports, complaints and queries from residents and parents and their liaison with the schools. It's a huge problem. The simple fact is, it's a huge problem. Road behaviour by drivers is not good enough. There's 1,000 children going to school there every day. It's a ticking time bomb. And the Part 8 for the green lane is a solution that will decrease speed, make that crossing safer. But in my opinion, and I've said it for the last 2 or 3 years, that the safe routes to school is the only programme that is going to eliminate risk. So the senior engineer was open to suggesting it to the NTA and maybe Ontashka or the entity, Ontashka Green Schools, pardon me, are the entity that suggest a site. So when the current cycle track Part 8 proposals are put in place, now they're nearly coming on stream, it's been talked about for the last 7 or 8 years, but they're nearly here, then maybe we will be a candidate for the safe routes to schools. But there's a few crossings there that are super dangerous. Everybody wants it addressed. I believe everybody feels the same, happy to work together, but I do believe that pressure to implement the safe routes to school is crucially important at this juncture.
Okay, Nuala, finally, you asked for a progress report from the council. This is on the implementation of the 2022 Public Realm Improvement Programme. You've asked for it in tabular form, and the report was to be provided to you at the meeting that did take place on Friday.
Yes, now I did get a printout of an Excel report at the meeting on Friday, so I wasn't really able to address it within the meeting, but I'd call it more of a no progress report. I'm very disappointed in the outcome of it. There's a lot of stuff to be delivered in quarter 3 2022, so I'll kind of wait until I see that, you know, basically town renewal master plans. And, you know, for example, I know COVID did stop a lot of activity in the municipal districts, but all that's really been delivered in the last couple of years in Selbridge and Leixlip is a couple of parklets. So they're like, you know, those kind of beige picnic benches that you have at, we've got one at the traffic lights here in Selbridge, so people can sit outside and enjoy themselves. And you know, other than that, it's just an indicative aspiration to have something happen in the area. So
give me some examples of the bigger things again.
Just
a couple.
For example, Selbridge, you've got the town renewal plans. Mm-hmm. So we were expecting those to be delivered maybe 3 or 4 months ago. The schedule for that is quarter 3, 2022. That's for Selbridge and Leixlip. Mm-hmm. So actually, in Ard Culloch, the Arthur Cafe did open in June. So that's, I guess, welcome. So sorry, I should have mentioned that first.
Okay.
So the Wonderful Barn, which is something we would have received a report on 2 years ago, the Part 8 is to be published during 2022.
But quarter 3 again.
well, it doesn't even say quarter three.
Right.
It might be, you know, don't be holding your breath there, Ciara. So ArdClock, the draft village renewal plan is quarter three, 2022. And then the two things that are completed are the parklets in Selbridge and the parklets in Leixlip, which,
okay,
you know, are welcome, but it's not good enough.
Okay.
Overall.
I appreciate your time this morning. Have a nice rest of your Tuesday. That is Social Democrat Councillor Nuala Killeen of Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District.
All right, a couple of messages coming in there to say that it's raining in Monastraven, raining in Athy, raining in Kildare Town, raining in Kildangan. So it seems as though the rain has made its way to the south of the county, and only a matter of time before it makes its way up towards us here in Naas and to the north of the county as well. Just want to mention that Councillor Aidan Farley, Social Democrats Councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, he spoke with Go Ahead Ireland yesterday regarding the 120 or the 126 bus service. He stressed, he says on his Facebook page, the consistent unreliability of the services as well as the lack of communication at times from them. He pointed out how this has been continuous over many months now and is simply not good enough. The representative confirmed that there are currently 47 drivers in their driving school, all of whom Go Ahead Ireland expect to be on the road by September. This, according to the representative, should ensure a full timetable will be operational, and Aidan Farley saying this is very welcome news and hopefully they can continue to see an improvement in the service between now and September. In our messages then coming into us on email, a wedding anniversary has just come in as well. Happy 60th wedding anniversary to Rita and Billy Vance in Britis, and that comes in with lots of love from their nieces and nephews. We have got a reply from Kildare GAA regarding our request for a statement. As I said to you a little earlier on, yesterday we were contacted by a couple of listeners regarding accessibility to the club championship matches when they got up to the turnstiles at the weekend. They were unable to pay with cash or card and were told that they had to buy tickets before the match online on the Kildare GAA website. Some of them didn't have access to the internet and therefore weren't able to purchase a ticket. So Kildare GAA have responded by saying over 2 years ago, like many other sporting bodies and industries, Kildare GAA moved to online ticketing due to the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions and regulations. The GAA centrally, regionally and at county level across the entire country has continued this process in 2022. This is to ensure ease of access to tickets in a safe manner by our members and supporters and for the safeguarding of our volunteers, especially in light of the recent increase in COVID incidence rates. All championship fixtures are ticket only. Tickets must be purchased online in advance of the fixture. All clubs participating in upcoming championship fixtures are provided with direct links to their club tickets online. This is also for promotion and communication within their clubs and communities in advance of the fixture. All fixture links are available in advance on the Kildare website for use by any supporter wishing to attend a fixture. Kildare GAA are very grateful for the continual support shown by our members and supporters over the last 6 months. We look forward with them to the Kildare Club and Hurling Football Championships fixtures over the coming weeks. So that is the response from Kildare GAA. It appears as though all tickets have to be bought online on the Kildare GAA website, or indeed on your local club's website as well, in advance of the championship fixtures.